Family and I appreciate the invitation to come out and see you folks, spend time with you folks. It means a lot, especially in this day and age where a lot of churches are shutting themselves off and shutting down. To see a church out there that's still willing to deal with me talking. But I appreciate you folks. I love being with you folks. I love the way you pray, if you'll allow me to get distracted for a second. I love the way you guys pray for each other, pray about each other. I said that the last time I was here, and folks, that's how churches survive. It really is. The way you all pray for your needs and your concerns, that's what's going to get it done here. It really is. John chapter 19, verse 30. John 19 and verse 30. It says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Because after murder, of course, you don't want that hanging around the next day. You just want that cleaned up. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Heavenly Father, as we approach this very serious, Lord, this subject we're very thankful for. Lord, we're talking about your Son dying on the cross for our sins. Amen. So, Father, I just pray this, that you do to the folks here in attendance the same thing you did with me as we were preparing this week. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Not to step on Brother Mark again. I don't know where he went. But I step on Brother Mark again, but the title of this morning's message is fake news. So now that's a subject, that's a word that gets brought up a lot nowadays. You know, this news, that fake news. You can't so much post a picture of your kids playing in the backyard without it getting fact-checked nowadays. It's just everything out there, somebody wants to control. The word we heard this morning was the narrative. They want to control how it was seen. They want to control what happened. But what you can never take away from a situation is what actually happened. And I completely just butchered the reading of this verse. But I'd like to take another stab at it, if you don't mind. It says, verse 35, and he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Folks, there is a lot of misinformation about the Lord Jesus Christ in today's day and age. Just as much as there was in times past. It seems that almost nobody can ever get what's actually going on with Jesus correct. And the answer to that, of course, being because people like to make things up. They like to fit religion into their lives. And after a while, that's the kind of religion that they preach. One that fits into their lives, that fits into their schedules, and fits into their favorite sins. But of course, we understand that's not the truth. It's not. One could imagine a news reporter today sitting down and trying to read this story in the news. Going something along the lines of, locals are looking forward to a time of peace after a local blasphemer was put to death last night. Jesus of Nazareth was an upstart religious leader who was so despised and rejected by his own people, they chose a criminal's life over his when given a choice. At a completely fair trial, he was judged as guilty and sentenced to death. He is survived by his mother and family. His disciples were unavailable for comment and assumed disbanded. And folks, if you look at some of the news and some of the historical record of this day and time, that's pretty much what they said happened. That his disciples had run and that he was just another dime a dozen false teacher. Now you have to understand this very polytheistic society, this very carnalistic society wanted nothing to do with this man. They didn't want him talked about. They didn't want him listened to. They wanted to put the whole thing behind them as soon as possible. Why? Because much like today's society, they find him a colossal buzzkill. Why? Because they labor under the delusion that feeding the flesh with booze, with carnality, with drugs is the token to happiness. And of course, we know that to be a lie. Think of everyone out there you know that struggles with addiction. Are they happy? You see all these people, they're seeking and they're diving into these alternative lifestyles. And let me tell you about every person with an alternative lifestyle I have ever met, and I've met a few of them. They all have anxiety issues, depression, sorrow, suicidal thoughts. And I sit there and I wonder, well, if that's so great, why are you so bummed? If you found happiness, what's with all of the quote-unquote anxiety? Now, of course, we use the word anxiety there in air quotes because, honestly, I don't think having to do a hard day's labor should make you anxious. I think that should just be something we can naturally apply ourselves to, but this day and age. See, they made some false assumptions about our Lord Jesus Christ. The first one that they assumed that was wrong, they assumed he was mortal. They did. They went up, see, there's the blood, there's the water, he's dead. No need to break his bones. Let's go ahead and get that, spear up into his side because, you know, that, we're a brutal society and the people just need a show. So let's go ahead and do that. And I tell you, oh no, he's dead. We killed him. But folks, that could not be further from what happened. It could not be further. In their weak minds, they had not heard the promises that he had made. They cared nothing for the prophecy that said this exact thing would happen. They were so far removed from their own teachings, stuck in their own lusts, that they did not see a very prominent teaching of the Messiah play out in front of them. It did nothing for them. Why? They were blinded. Distracted. When I say blinded, sometimes you think of somebody who's blinded, they didn't have a choice. When we are blinded, when God's people are blinded, when we as a society are blinded to God, it is a choice that we've made. And it doesn't matter what you're distracted with, if it's pulled you from the Lord, you're blinded. And you need to see to live. To go along with the idea of their assumption that he was mortal, they also assumed that he was gone. That was the end of it. You know how often the devil has tried to convince us, both as true Baptist churches and as children of God, that it was over? Time and time again. There was a documentary I was watching last night. It was about a German preacher who, you know, at a particular point in his life was jailed, not just because of his religion, this is during Nazi Germany times, but because he actively played a role in an assassination attempt against Hitler. So he was in jail. You know what would be a good time to say that it's over? When you're about to swing from the gallows. But you know, you see martyr after martyr after martyr after martyr, not a one of them gave up. Now, I'm sure there's probably one or two in there. I'll take that back. I'll reel it in just a little bit. But for the most part, when you take a Baptist and you're about to set them on fire, we really light up. We do. You just see for whatever reason, the more you whip at us, the stronger we are. It's never over. Well, but brother, I've got this going on in my life. It's not over. Brother, you don't understand. I'm fighting with this illness. It doesn't matter to the Lord. Because at the very last of your breath, there's still going to be just enough to kick as hard as you need to kick. This world has no idea what your limits are. They have no idea what God can do, both in your life and through you to the rest of this world. There is no reason to believe the devil when he says this thing is over. Now, of course, if we're looking at the opinion of these people, we would also say claims of the monotheistic of his supernatural abilities were, of course, false. Concerns arise over the mental stability of his followers among rising claims of his magical abilities. Join us at 6 when we sit down with a priest from the Temple of Diana for her explanation of where these fraudulent claims could have come from. Again, taken directly from the culture of the time. They would much rather, listen now, there are kids in the room, so I'm going to be gentle. If you understood what the Temple of Diana was about, you understand why I'm being cautious. But they valued the opinion of these people more than those standing up for some level of morality. Well, that sounds awful familiar, doesn't it? You get so many folks today, things are as worse. They're so bad, they've never been this bad. Oh, yes, they have. Oh, yes, they have. And you know what? The same Jesus Christ that was there then, He is still here today. He is still here. And I'll tell you what, He hasn't lost a step in near 2,000 years. The same one that brought them grief and regret and shame, the same one that was healing people, the same one that was taking people that seemed valueless and brought them in and loved them and purposed them with His great commission, He still works today, folks. He still works today. As an editorial, they would say, hey, He attacked our rights to free living. He claimed moral superiority over us, and He is offensive. There is to be no talking about Him going forward. And we understand that because as we look at the disciples, well, how many times were they pressed and jailed and beaten? Said, hey, listen, you don't talk about this. You try talking about Jesus Christ today in school, kids, try. Try to see what they do. I was told in high school, I had my Bible with me. So in high school, I couldn't have my Bible. And I tell you what, I studied law after I was told I wasn't allowed to have it. I am a little bit of a rebel, but I'm a rebel for the Lord, is how I am. I'll stand up for the Lord. I'll fight against stupidity here on earth, but I'm going to do it for the Lord. I'm not going to rebel against Him. Amen. I stood up and I said, hey, listen, according to this law, you actually can't tell me what I can read. And I'll tell you what, if so-and-so can have this book about sexuality, and if this person over here, they can have this book about murder, and this person can have this book, I can have this one. Amen. I didn't preach it because... but that's just... I can. You can't stop me. It's not a point of pride. I need that book. There's a person that walks around, they got an insulin pump, they need it. I need some spiritual insulin every now and then just to get through the day. And we stand up and we say, this is what we're going to do. This is what I need. You can't shut me up on this. And I told that teacher, listen, I promise I will not distract your class. When you're talking, my eyes are right here. But if I got some free time and I choose to do this on my free time, then that's what I'm going to do. And folks, we need that. It's easy to do when you're a kid. Kids, look at me. It's so easy to do when you're a kid to stand up for what you believe in. I know it's hard. I know you get picked on. I know you get shunned. Adults, the problem with us isn't that we're afraid someone's going to come after us. The problem is we just don't. Isn't that the truth? We just don't. We have the option to give the gospel to people we'll never see again. We're not going to get bullied around the halls. We just don't. We got to fight our own flesh. And I'll tell you what, I'll take 100,000 bullies. I'll get cyberbullied for 100 days. But when it comes down to just doing it, come on. I'll take the punishment. I'll take people looking at me weird. Da, 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 da. Will you give the gospel to someone you may never see again? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. So that's the fake news. Point number one, that's the fake news. Let's talk about the real news, shall we? Verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vineyard, He said, it is finished. It is finished. Now, Wouldn't that be amazing? You're sitting there, you're doing something you don't want to do, and all of a sudden you just get up, it's finished, and you're done. That'd be nice. But if it's not your plan, you don't always get to be the person that puts the final end note on it, right? You don't always get to put the period there. Sometimes it's just a comma. When the Lord hung there and he said, it is finished, it said a lot. Amen. Number one, this was my plan. And the plan just got done. Number two, I'm deciding right now to give this up. Now we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a strong man, right? We look at the way a lot of people portray him. They portray him as weak, as sissified, as though one good cold could take him out. But when you look at who Jesus Christ really was, he was a manly man. And I'll tell you what, if these two criminals, hooked on alcohol and who knows what, living a life of crime, living in the rough, out-survived him, I would say that there's something medically going wrong here. There's something fishy. But when we look at it again, as we talked about in Sunday school, in the context, I'm done. And it wasn't a surrender. I had a plan to do this, and oh look, here we are. I've taken it, my blood has poured. The sacrifice that was meant to be given has been made. And now it's time for me to go lay this blood down on the mercy seat. Whew. That's the real news. The Son of God surrendered his life for you and me. That's the news. We would sit there, we would look at their claims that what he had said happened was false, that he never came back, that he never stood back, and he never stood among his people, and he never performed any more miracles. And we would sit there and say, no, but he did. And it wasn't just his people that saw him. Ask those soldiers that had been woken up in the dirt to realize that somebody had not only taken them out, but rolled the stone away and now his body was gone. They get all this grief, the disciples do, for being a ragtag group of men. How does a ragtag group of nobodies take out some trained Roman soldiers, move a large stone out of the way, and get out of there before these guys wake up? It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. And all the same, we would sit there and we would say, well, what's the mathematical possibility that not only would we have a scenario where there's an eclipse outside just as someone dies, and an earthquake at the moment he dies, and all of a sudden we see later in Scripture where there were dead in the grave that came back. And it was witnessed. It was in the news. You can look it up. You can find documentation of people talking about this. What are the odds of all that happening? But yeah, I'll take it down to this. What are the odds of one person accidentally being buried? At the time, probably higher than today. Right? But you look at that scenario right there. It says many. Well, hey, Gil, how you doing? I haven't seen you since your funeral. Hey, what? Just imagine that. Literally saying that when the Lord kicked in the doors to death, he let a few of them out to prove a point. Now, why would the Lord put on such a show for this? Because people are stupid. If you allow me to say that phrase, I'm so sorry if that sounds crass, but we're dumb sometimes. We need a little bit more. We need an optical illustration every now and then. He worked miracles. His resurrection was just one of many. If we were to sit there and we were to try to do an editorial of this scenario, I would say this, that free living is just a politically correct way of saying sinful living, of living carnally, whatever your flesh wants, I'm going to go get. And folks, carnal living, sinful living has consequences. It has consequences. You know what? I don't have to worry about getting into a drunk driving accident that I caused or causing a drunk driving accident if I don't drink. Amen? Just, it's easy. I don't have to sit there and turn around to my kids and watch them deal with my vices if I don't have those vices to begin with. Right. And it's not a point of pride right here. Were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ, I couldn't tell you what I would be. I could not tell you the kind of man I would be without him. All I know is what I am with him. a sinner saved by grace. And for whatever reason, in his purpose, he puts me to work at all. I don't deserve to be able to stand behind this pulpit. I don't deserve to sit in the pew. I don't. But the Lord says, no, no. That's where you're going. This is what you're doing. We would also say that he is the moral superiority in this world and the master teacher to all generations. The master teacher to all generations. You think about this. You know, there have been a lot of teachers, a lot of famous speakers, a lot of motivational people in this world. They get together and they get paid to influence people one way or the other. And I'll tell you what, it's so fascinating to watch these people. They make millions of dollars on social media pushing one thought or one idea or one product. And then they say one thing out of line and that's it. That's the end of their career. It doesn't really have a retirement plan either. It's not a safe bet, but they dig into it. See, the thing is that in this world, you are only as rich as you are popular. It's really the way it is. Especially with these social media gurus, these public speakers, these philosophers, these politicians. The moment they say something wrong, they're gone. And you know what's funny though? We've never stopped talking about Jesus Christ. His people have always been there. I mean, you can't even have fictional characters anymore without people turning on them. But it's just the way we are. But Jesus Christ, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What we see that he taught was applicable to those people in that Roman era. And guess what, folks? He's been applicable ever since. Oh, but we're so much smarter now. We're not smarter. We just got cooler stuff. We just figured some things out. We're not any smarter or dumber. We're the same sinners we've always been. What he taught then still applies today. We just need to make sure that in our lessened educational state, we're making those leaps to get to where we ought to be. We would also say in this editorial that it's the sin nature that gets offended at the teachings of Jesus Christ. And that ought to catch our attention. Ought to catch our attention. Now, I'm not going to say one thing or the other as to whether this is right or wrong, but there's just some things we don't do concerning Christmas time with our boys. We just tell them the truth about things and we go on with stuff. People get offended by that. But I would sit there and say, well, I tell you what, if we understand the truth, and I'm being very careful because I don't want anybody's mom to come after me. If you sit there and say later, but no, brother, we're the same. You can preach it. Go for it. But we just don't teach that a certain person is real. And I tell you what, if somebody's, when I'm looking at a picture of him, I don't get offended by him. Want to know why? Because I think he's fake. Amen. I do. So my question is this, why, Mr. Atheist, do you get mad when you see me talking about Jesus Christ if you don't think he's real? Right. If you are so right and so firm in your conviction that humanism is the way to go, why does me believing what I believe offend you so badly? Now, I know why I get upset at humanism, because it's leading people away and it's the education of the devil. That's what bothers me, because I do have beliefs. But if you have none, why does this bother you? The sin nature in us. It's that part that loves the darkness, that repels Jesus Christ. Like, oh, I don't want the light. Don't turn the light on. In our hearts. That's really all. It's just a bunch of cockroaches in our heart. And when the light's turned on, they want to get out of there. And they kick and they squirm and they don't want to talk about Jesus Christ. That'll get our attention. When the preacher's getting up and he's preaching on sin and the doctrine is right and the scripture is in what he is teaching. And he's teaching the word of God the way God meant for it to be. And you're getting offended. That tells you where you're sitting. I've given too much into that flesh. I've fed something that's a part of me that ought not be a part of me. So we looked at the fake news. We looked at the good news, or the real news. Point number three, I want to look at the really good news. Look at the really good news for a second. Not only did Jesus Christ die, but Jesus Christ died for you. Now, folks, I am a firm believer in the doctrine of election, so don't take me out of context here, but Jesus Christ died for you. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you know that beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you were a useless, lousy, no good sinner. And Jesus Christ saved your soul with that sacrifice He made that day on the cross. I don't care who they put in the White House, I'm going to heaven. Yeah, I tell you what, you guys can argue all day over who's going into the White House, back and forth, good or right, bad or wrong. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to suffer as Christians. We're going to do great as Christians. It doesn't matter to me. Whoever's in the White House, my Lord's preparing a mansion for me. Amen. I understand that there's been some loss in the church. And I tell you what, I wonder what their Sunday service is this morning. They're doing well. Jesus Christ died for us. And we'll have all eternity to experience it. All eternity to enjoy it. All eternity to thank Him for it. And I tell you what, we're going to start right here, amen? When I talk to Him, He's going to know how grateful I am. When I live my day-to-day life, when I develop who I am, when I think of my integrity, when I think of my character, it's all going to be about the Lord Jesus Christ. At least that ought to be the decision we make every minute of every day. As a reminder that I am an ambassador, a representative of who the Lord is. And I'll tell you this right now. So we see the first one, Jesus Christ died for you. We also see that He has not lost His power. He's not. I tell you what, I was really bummed about the election results. I'm still not concerned that they're in. I'm not completely giving this up yet. I'm not. But you know, it doesn't matter who's... It doesn't matter who's in there, really. Right? Now listen, if it was Trump, am I allowed to preach about politics? I'm not going to stop. They're going to arrest me anyway one day. I don't care. They put Trump there. We could at least say for another 4 years, we'd have a little bit more peace and quiet. We'd have a little bit more freedom. Now with the other one, we're probably going to have a lot of trouble. We're going to see an uptick in the persecution, all that good stuff, right? And you know what? That's troubling. It really is troubling. I'm making it sound like it's nothing. It's troubling. But I tell you what, concerning how powerful my God is and what God does to His people during trying times, you know what? I'm okay. Let's go. Amen. You know what? If it's time for a fight, let's go. Now, we need to make sure that we're studying. We need to make sure that we're reading. We need to make sure that we are showing love to our enemies. We need to be everything that God has told us to be. But it really ultimately doesn't matter because I'm with the Lord no matter where He goes, right? We sing that song, where He leads me, I will follow. And I tell you what, if He leads me through 4 more years of Donald Trump, I will follow Him through 4 more years of Donald Trump. If He leads me through 4 more years, well, if I tell you what, if He leads me through 1 year of Joe Biden and when something terrible happens to him, Kamala Harris. do you guys see that? I don't mean to interrupt myself, but you see that? Was Nancy Pelosi gets out and she does a report highlighting what needs to happen if the president ever dies and the power transfer from the president to the vice president. And I'm like, you know what? That's just a little morbid, don't you think? Like the moment you find out you won the White House or you think you won the White House, the Speaker of the House turns up and says, now listen, if he kicks the bucket, I want to talk about this. Right? I'd be a little unsettled. But nonetheless, I will follow him through that terror storm. Why? Because He's just as good to me when everything is going great. When there were thousands of people in the New Testament joining the churches, God sure was good, wasn't He? And I'll tell you what, right now when we're facing almost the exact opposite, my God is still good. My God is still good. Had somebody say one time, well, that's it, it's over. It's over for Christians. I go, why? You plan on quitting? Jesus doesn't. God doesn't plan on quitting. Why should I? Was this about popularity? Was this about people meeting my eyes saying I'm good to see you? Because if that was it, you're wasting your time. I'm in it for the Lord, and I tell you what, He has not lost a step. They looked at that cross and they said, well, let's clean this up. We got church tomorrow, let's clean this up. Tomorrow's a high Sabbath, we got to get all this taken care of. We don't want any barbarism tomorrow. They thought He was powerless. They didn't know that He was off busy somewhere and He was going to come back for that body. Treat it carefully. Put it where I can find it because I'm coming back for it. We see there as the stone was rolled away and as He left. Oh, What a powerful thing it would have been to be able to see. I like the idea of the disciples racing to the tomb, one beating the other. Folks, every day of our lives ought to be like that. What were they racing to see? Is it true? No. If I thought for an inkling that Mary wasn't telling the truth, am I going to run? If I thought maybe she was right, we're running, right? See, that tells you about their heart. See, if I thought she was just weeping and mourning and lost her mind a little bit, we'd walk there. First, we'd take care of Mary, and then we'd walk there. These two guys ran. Why'd they run? Because they wanted to see the power of God. Folks, you ought to be having the strongest desire to chase after the power of God. I want to see what He's going to do when I do this. Lord, this is what You've asked me to do. I'm going to do it, and I'm going to watch to see what You're about to have happen. That's going to be exciting. My Lord has not lost His power. Therefore, I'm not going to lose heart. And I tell you what, normally I would do an editorial. First point, I did an editorial. Second point, I did an editorial. I'm not going to do an editorial for this one because you know what? Here's some real facts. Here's some real facts. Following Christ sets you free from carnal tyranny. It does. Why does an alcoholic or a drunkard or however we're calling them nowadays, why is it that they get up and look for money to go drink? Because they feel they need it. Why is it that somebody pops pill after pill trying to achieve some level of normalcy? Because they believe they need it. Why is it that we seek attention? Why is it that we seek popularity? Why is it that we obsess young people with the idea of likes and shares and social media validation? Why is it? Because we feel we need it. As a child of God, you realize you don't need those things. Now, I tell you what, if you post a picture, you get 1,000 likes, hey, good for you. That's not a bad thing. Not preaching against you. You get likes, that's awesome. But what I am saying is this. Don't focus on the things you don't need. That's what your flesh needs. Your flesh needs a bunch of people in this world going, good job. Your flesh feels that it needs to be intoxicated. Your flesh feels that it needs to be gluttonous and it's taking in of things. Your flesh has the wrong idea. Don't let that fool drive. You just don't. Right? That idea of being a slave to the flesh, the Lord set us free from that. And therefore, we've lost the consequences that go along with it. There's that story, and I've never met Abraham Lincoln, so I can't prove that it's true. But the story is told this of Abraham Lincoln, that he was walking through a city one day, and they were having a slave auction. And there was some men bidding for a young girl. And in his fear of what was about to happen there, he outbid them and he bought her. He turned around, took her papers, whatever it is you had to do, and he handed the papers over, said, you're free. Now, she looking at her situation, understanding that she was in a bad spot, and also out of gratitude for what just happened, said, well, I'll follow you. Well, folks, in this very... I'm not sure if it's solid illustration. We see us. At one point or another, I was a slave to this world. The devil's sitting there cackling, going, what can I do with this guy? The world is sitting there going, ha ha, what can I do with this guy? The beer places and the drug sellers and everybody who would have me be their slave, have me fill their purpose, they're laughing and they're cackling, going, all right. And the Lord Jesus Christ coming by saved my soul, so I would have no part of that. So you go, what, Lord, I'm following you. I am. Well, there's all these rules. You know what? There's a lot of rules over there too. Die early. Cough a lot. Fight with depression, anxiety, and all these things that the world says you have. Right? Basically, all you need is you need the Lord. That's what you need. No, I have something better now. I don't need those things. Not only do you need His discipleship, but you will thrive under His discipleship. You'll thrive. Hey, you know what? We got this young guy in our church. Very, very solid with his money. Very, very organized. Very good steward of his money. And people will come to him. Some of the younger people who had just gotten married, they're coming to him and they'll ask him for advice. Why? Because they see what he's doing. And they see that it has an effect. So they come to him, and you know what he tells them? He tells each and every one of them the same thing. Right? You got to do things the way the Lord told you to do them. Now, he's got some very practical pointers that he points out, some very scriptural things that he puts in there. Hey, this is what you're supposed to do, right? You're struggling financially, guess what you ought to do? Make sure you're tithing. People look at him like he's nuts. People look at you like you're nuts when you say that, but no, make sure you're tithing. And I'm allowed to say that because I don't go to this church. I can preach on that. Right? In your church, you tithe. Right? And you just think about all those different things that the Bible tells you to do that the world would deem rules. But when you follow them, you realize your life looks a whole lot better than what it used to. And after a while, people come to you and say, hey, listen, you know, everyone's getting really frustrated at what's going on around here, but you're not what's going on. You get a chance to give them the gospel. They're asking for it. They're asking for it. Why? Because in your testimony, you've opened the door. Now, your testimony belongs to the Lord. You ought to have a good testimony because you want to please Him. But I'll tell you what that testimony is going to do every day. It's going to open doors. It really is. You will thrive under His discipleship. Without it, who knows what kind of life you're going to live? Who knows? Oftentimes we see in Scripture the idea of being tossed about. Sometimes by winds of doctrine, sometimes by the sea, sometimes by this world. I don't want to be tossed about. Changing my mind, looking to see what works, sitting there lonely in a dark room and brooding, whatever it is that they say you ought to do. We need to trust the Lord. We need to find out what He says to do, and we need to get out there and start doing it. I'm going to put this out here too. A proper Christian life embraces Scripture and won't shut up about it. Think about those disciples. They were put in that jail. Eyes all bruised, teeth broken, bodies beaten. And they were told what? Don't speak about the Lord anymore. Now what was their answer?
Okay.
No. We cannot but. Amen. You think we've tried? We haven't. We're not gonna. I'm gonna do what my Lord said to do. And look at Him. Look at what He's done for us. Do you know what I was? Do you know who I was, what I deserved? You think you can get me to stop with a couple slaps? You're going to need a bigger army. You're going to need to put me in the ground, and even doing so, I'll see my Lord. Amen. So either you get to hear about Him or I get to see Him, but no matter what, we're talking about the Lord. That's what we're doing today. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's what to be what we are. A child of God ought to be a bottle of pop. It's a very basic illustration, but let's use it. Ought to be a bottle of pop. I take a bottle of pop, I shake it up. What happens? Very simple. Child of God, that's what we ought to be. You sit there, you see horrible things happening in the world today. Go ahead, shake me up. I'm going to talk about the Lord. You know, brother, there's some really sad things going on right now. Go ahead, shake me up. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's come together. Let's praise the Lord together. There was a pastor, Pastor Hake, over in Iran. He was told to stay silent. He didn't. What happens when you don't stay silent about the Lord in Iran? They kill you. They kill you. Over here in America, you just get unfriended, but stakes are a little bit higher in other places. Why didn't he shut up? He had a family. He had kids. His family and his kids, they had to get out of there. Think about all these preachers, all these missionaries we have over in Africa. They're getting killed. Why don't they shut up? Come over here. Move to Indiana. Get a Whataburger or whatever. Why bother? Because when the Lord has really touched your life and you're close to Him, you don't shut up. You can't. What was it that David said? It's like what? A fire shut up in his bones. I think David had a lot of great imagery in his writing. David was an amazing songwriter as well. You think about the things that he had said to the Lord. These are amazing words. And I could see in my head what he meant by this. But can I say this? When he says it's like a fire shut up in my bones when he tried to stay silent about the Lord, do you know what he meant? It's easy to see it in my head, but do you feel it? Now again, religion's not about feelings, but what we're talking about here is this. It bothered him to not speak of the Lord. if we are here and we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we ought to speak. We ought to. Verse 42 of our text says, "There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand." See, their actions were in response to what the false religionists, what the world, what Rome wanted. So it was Romans' way. It was a Roman way of death to kill somebody via crucifixion. The Jews had rules that they had to follow in order to follow along with their what I would call Phariseeism. They had all the rules. You know what people did? They followed along with those rules. Followed along with those rules. If it were me, I'd say, you know what? You stare at them. Look at what you did. The problem is, we look at the two different ways, the two different modes of rules, or the two different modes of news. The world's news, the real news. And you know what? Sometimes we're a little too quick to follow after what the world says to do. And you know what? I don't care about the world anymore. I don't. You ought not to either. Want to know why? Because they're wrong. They're wrong about my Lord Jesus Christ. They're wrong about how you ought to live your life. They're wrong about all those things, but we listen, we listen, we listen. What we ought to do instead is shout over their tones. Tell them, no, Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for those rights you think you have. Those rights are sin. And what you're doing is you're giving your life to them. You're giving all of it to them. And you think the devil ever says thank you? He doesn't. Do you think the devil loves you as you put more poison in your veins? He doesn't care. I'll tell you what, as Baptists, as real Christians, he wants us silent. He wants us to sit there and say, sign of the times. That's what he expects out of you. And what do we see child of God after child of God saying? Oh, sign of the times. I tell you what, the times are bad. But we don't need to deal about it. We need to deal with it. We don't cry about it. We don't surrender. We do something. Why are churches dying? Is it because the gates of hell are prevailing against us? Ooh, the Bible says it can't. So what's happening? It's us. It's us. We're failing our relationship with the Lord. Amen. We need to fix that relationship. You ever have to fix a relationship? A friendship broke down? Maybe it was a tear in the family? What do? You go to that person. You tell them you love them. You say you're sorry. What do I do to my father when I've left him, when I've abandoned him, when I've gotten scared, when I've been paying attention to the storm more than I have him? I go to him and I say, I'm sorry. Heavenly Father, as we close this morning, Lord, I know a better man would have done a better job with this message. And I just ask this, that you do not have us lose heart. Help us to stay strong. Help us to do as you'd have us to do. Lord, we love you. We're sorry for where we've strayed. But Lord, we want to work for you. We want to serve you. Father, if there's a heart here that is not saved, I pray, Lord, you save them. Bring them to the knowledge that they are in their sin, and only the blood of Jesus Christ can pull them out. But Father, if we are saved, and we've gone back to serving sin, I pray you wake us up. Pull us from it by any means. So that, Father, we may do right by you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's have the music.